ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Bibles with me as we continue this series this evening to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We are still placing emphasis on the Word of God, and tonight I'd like to title this Dealing with Contradictions. Last week, Wednesday, we spoke about the Word. On Sunday, we spoke about Word transactions. God has given us the means of transacting things spiritually by the instrumentality of His Word. And today, we will just push it further. Title this, Dealing with Contradictions. So when you have the Word of God, they are bound to be contradictions. The promises of God, they are bound to be contradictions. The devil does not understand totally the ways of God, but it can just distract us. And that's what the Bible is saying, Hebrews 12:2. Always and consistently looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So in Mark chapter 4, we read a story from verse 35 up till verse 41. If you have a Bible like mine, it's subtitled Wind and Wave Obey Jesus. So whatever it is, whether it's wind, whether it's the wave, they can stand as contradictions. Contradiction in life may come to us in different ways, like disappointment, like setback, even a joyful moment. There are things that people get scared of that maybe it will not last. There are setbacks, moments in life. There are moments where we all ask the question, God, are you really there? So those are contradictory moments. But God has a word for us at such moment. That's verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. When evening had come, that looks like the dark moment, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. That was the rhema word. God's word in that specific situation. That sounded like the prophetic word. There was a tone of finality. Let us cross over to the other side. He said, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. So I want you to please take note. There was a prophetic word, let us cross over to the other side. And so Jesus did not leave them to cross over. So Jesus was there with them. And the Bible says in verse 37, there was a great, not just a windstorm, a great windstorm arose. And then so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. So it wasn't that Jesus just proclaimed the word and he was nowhere to be found. So sometimes in life we have the prophetic word over our lives, over our families, over our businesses, over the nation, as it were. And then along the line, just a little further along the line, it seems things happen. And it seems as if God has not spoken. So my first encouragement tonight, whether you are in a great windstorm, or the waves is beating into your boat and it looks like you are sinking out, my first encouragement tonight is that Jesus is still there with you. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He won't bail out on us. He said, then, but he was in the stand, asleep on a pillow, position of rest. And that's what God wants us to be, that even though the windstorm may be there, the waves may be beating, God still wants us to look at such things from the position of rest. There is a global situation in our hand. We call it the pandemic. It's in the last 6-7 months, businesses have not run the way it's supposed to be. And that has taken most part of the year. So the question tonight is that Jesus is still here. Maybe someone is asking, is he still real? Is the prophetic word for 2020 still real? He said, they asked him, they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea. So he's the master. He has absolute power over the wind, over the sea, to the point that he said, peace, be still. And because he was the one who gave the initial prophetic word, let us cross over to says, and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And I say by the word of the Lord tonight, that every word that God has spoken to you concerning 2020, it will surely come to pass. God's word does not return to him void. He says, but he said to them, verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So, the prophetic word was given. The winds blew. The waves rose. And then they were wondering whether Jesus was still there. But he was still there. And then Jesus, they call upon him. And he responded to them. And he gave another word of authority. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And they said, what happened? He said, because of fear. And I'd like to address that also tonight, the moment. Does it seem to you that all your goals for this year is not going to be met? I believe he's saying to you tonight, do not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. He says, why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? Which is like our typical us today. Jesus is in the midst of our life, is in the midst of our situation, yet we don't believe him. Some people can't even recognize him. He says, who can this be that even the wind and the sea, they obey him? He is the Son of God, in case you don't know. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He is the creator of heaven and earth. John 1:1 described him, this same Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God, him. Nothing that was made. He says, this, and the Word became flesh, and it dwells among us. So, growth is inevitable in our journey of life. And sometimes, situations and circumstances help to test the validity of our growth process. Sometimes the waves of life, the storms of life, the winds of life, they come to take us off course. But growth is needed. When such things happen, it's just an opportunity to exercise our faith in God. The only constant thing in life is growth. The only dynamic things, when all other things fail, it's our ability to grow. So God expects you and I to grow in our faith journey. God expects you and I to grow in our journey of faith. God expects you and I, as we walk with Him, that situations and circumstances that has caused fear, anxiety, worries, in the met away. So, in life, there are contradictions. And when contradictions come, it's an opportunity to exercise our faith, and it's an opportunity to be able to measure why we are growing. So, if we are not growing, there's just something that happens to each and every one of us. When one is not growing in the image of Jesus, we become spiritual dullards. We become kana or body rule. We are ruled by sense knowledge. And so the ability to discern between what is right or what is wrong or what we need to do in terms of decision making becomes something that we just give to the sense knowledge. And if we can't walk by our feeling, because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. When we don't grow, we lose our spiritual relevance to carnality. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I will read for you and I to pay attention to growth in our faith journey. 2 Peter chapter 1, I read from verse 2 all through to 11. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, as His divine power, He has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. So God expects us to grow. He said, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, referring to our Lord Jesus. He said, by which we have been given, He has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That talks about our salvation experience. But after our salvation experience, we as disciples of Christ, we're supposed to be fruitful in the growth pattern of our faith. So look at what he says in verse 5. He said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, heart to your faith. So it's one thing for us to say yes to Jesus and we are born again and we become new creation in Christ Jesus. But it's another thing for us to take it further, to heart to that faith experience. And what did it ask us to heart to? It says, to our faith which you had virtue. That's still not the end of growth. To our virtue, we need to add knowledge. It's still not the end of growth recommended. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours, and abound, barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, whoever lacks this thing is short-sighted, even to blindness, he becomes carnal, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you will do these things, you will never stumble.
And what happens? An entrance will be supplied to us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Growth is inevitable, brothers, sisters. It is important that we must allow the Holy Spirit to groom us as a leader to our own generation. Peter, who went through moments of personal failures, is the one who is encouraging us tonight to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hard to your faith. Fear produces little faith. Well, he says, where we read, he was talking about those disciples who were fearful. They did not even understand their God nature. But you and I today, because we have that personal relationship, we must allow the Holy Spirit to form, we call it the fruit of the Spirit, to form the character and the nature of God fully in us. So back to my message tonight, which is dealing with contradictions. I take it from what I left up on Sunday, that words, they form the primary action of our faith. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that was the beginning of contradictions that we saw. These contradictions that I want to talk about tonight. Genesis chapter 1, and verse 2. And so I'm saying it that if the Godhead, you and I mean, it should not be strange to us, but there was something that they did which can help our faith, your faith and my faith. Genesis 1, 2, it says, the heart was without form and void, and then darkness. So no form, no shape. And then there was darkness. Those were contradictions. Was on the face of the deep. And then even the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So it was like something was just out of place. But the key secret that I want us to take was that then God said. So there was contradiction to God's plan. But when God spoke, two things happened. So in the face of our contradiction, the same things will happen. These two things. Number one, the situation was changed. Jesus, in the midst, demonstrating this same principle, let us cross over to the other side. That was the word. And then something contrary came into the scene. And Jesus got up from a position of rest and he spoke. And then the situation changed. That's the first thing. When you learn to speak the word of God in the face of contrary situation, the situation does not have any other reason but to bow to the word of God in your mouth. Why? The same word was the same word that created the heavens and the heart. And the things that were spoken back then, they are still standing up to today. Second thing that happened in that principle, which was also what happened in our test tonight, that when God spoke, light came. When Jesus said, peace be still, light entered into that stormy situation and there was calmness. So the word spoke and brought out what God wanted to see is the same word that we read in the scripture today. And if it's propelled by revelation, it is the same word that we will speak. And then situations will change. And then we create light. The same word, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It said this is the same word that the patriarch spoke. and he then create or form their own worlds. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is, another example of where Jesus spoke in the face of contradiction. The Bible says he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then thereafter he was hungry, and the devil came on the scene, which was contrary. And then the devil made some suggestion to his mind, and then Jesus' response also confirmed those two principles. But before the devil finally departed, Jesus made a statement in Matthew 4:4. And that's the mindset that you and I, if we are growing, we must cultivate. Man shall never live by bread alone. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We don't walk by the things we can see, because the things we can see, they are temporal. The challenges of today, they are temporal. But when we learn to speak the word of God, the situations must bow, light must come, and we can experience the miraculous. So Jesus made that statement in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of the Lord. Another example is Jesus with Lazarus and his two sisters in John 11. There was a situation, that place, we know the Bible story. And what looks like a 4 days delay, because sometimes when God speaks word to us, some kind of delay in our own eyes. But hey, as such contradictory or contradicting situation, we should learn to stay on the word of God. And Jesus made some profound statement in those verses. He said, if you believe, he said, you and I will see the glory of God. Another example is in 1 Samuel 17. The man of God, David, in the face of Goliath. And you know, one of the things that he also, remarkable statement, response that he said, Goliath represents contradiction. But what he said was that, I have come to you in the name of the God of hosts. So when we are faced with situation, we must match such situations with the word of God. And whatever happened, Acts chapter 19 says, so mightily grew the word, and it prevailed. We must come to this understanding that spiritual warfare is a war of words. Spiritual warfare is in chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. He said, we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. It's not sense knowledge. It's not activity that is misguided. It's not even spiritual activity, misguided spiritual activities. No, it's a warfare of the mind. There are strongholds that contradictions want to bring to our mind, that we will not see God as our refuge and as our fortress. And the Bible says, what do we do with those imaginations, with those thinking, with those which are stronghold? We cast them down by the word of the Lord. God's word on your lips is the same as the word of God on his lips. Contradictions will always come in the form of words. And you and I, if we are really, really growing, you will understand that we are called to fight, not the natural fight. We are called to fight the fight of faith. And the fight of faith will demand that you and I speak the word of God. The Holy Spirit will always be in agreement to speak in the face of contradictory evidence. And today, we have in us the spirit of faith. And so we must engage speaking. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. He said, we have that same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. He said, therefore, as we believe, we also speak. There is no active faith without spoken words. We can prevail over life's contradiction when we learn to activate and speak God's word. I close tonight reading from 1 John 5. We must learn to speak in the face of contradiction. 1 John 5, verses 7 and 8. So God's word in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in his own mouth. He said, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. 5, 7 and 8. He said, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the heart. The Spirit, the water, or the Word, because Ephesians 5 says, by the washing of the water, by the Word. So the water is a type of the Word of God. And then the blood, because we have the victory. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So when we agree with heaven, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they also bear witness with us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And so the Spirit, the Word, and the blood, all these three stand and agree as one here on the earth. The word that we learn to speak during contradictions fixes the landmark of our lives. Our words, that's the word of God now, we frame our lives. As a matter of fact, our confession, we always precede our possession. Your confession. So, faith always speak three times over. When you choose to believe the word of God over the natural evidence. That's Mark 11. If you read Mark 11, 23, 24, it says it three times. You will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. If you will not doubt in your heart, but you say, so you have say, three times, you will have whatsoever you say. So, the word of God, when we speak it, it is three times powerful over the contradictory elements. So, faith speak in the face of contradiction. That's my message tonight. So, in terms of disappointment, sickness in your body, childlessness, financial lack, spiritual dryness, the loss of a job, being in debt, business downturn, please learn to speak three times when you choose to believe God's word. And what do you have to do? Instead of murmuring, instead of whining and complaining, look for scriptures that cover the area of your need. And once you learn to begin to speak, that's the way spiritual things work. You now see yourself growing from one level of glory to another. Because of our time tonight, I can't give you personal testimony, but I know that it works when you learn to speak the word of God. And at the face of contrary evidences, he relieves you of any unnecessary stress that want to drain your energy. And you can see God restoring. You can see God stepping into that situation. And you can see his hand in miracles. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. He says so that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. There is nothing contrary in the physical that can take us out. So let's pray tonight. Father, we say thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you because in the face of contradictory evidences, we will not give up. We speak your word in faith. We speak your word in power. So shall your word that has gone out of your mouth, it shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish the purpose to which you have sent it. I speak to every situation and circumstances out there tonight. We send forth your word of grace, your word of power, your word of victory, your word of dominion to dominate your people's world. Thank you because the sick is healed tonight. Thank you because that situation, contrary situation of lack, is turned into abundance. Thank you because, son of mine, there is courage and faith to act on the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Thank you. Every disappointment is turned to appointment. Every setback is turned into comeback. Your glory is revealed over every life. I declare to you that it's downcast tonight. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of God is risen upon you. Darkness may have covered the heart, gross darkness the people, but the Lord has arisen over you, and his glory shall be seen. His beauty shall be seen over your life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We choose to side with your word, and so mightily grows your word in our lives, and prevail in every situation of our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,